If you've been diagnosed with probable or presumed 2009 H1N1 or swine flu in recent months, you may be surprised to know this. The odds are you didn't have H1N1 flu. In fact, you probably didn't have flu at all. That's according to state-by-state test results obtained in our three-month-long CBS News investigation. In short, only a small fraction of cases that doctors flagged as most likely to be swine flu actually tested positive for swine flu at state labs. The vast majority of the cases were negative.
First thing they did was they issued an emergency use authorization, which is a special release for creating a test for the flu without going through major clinical trials. Get that out there so that people can use it. And then there were two medicines, the inhaler Relenza and the flu medicine Tamiflu. They allowed expanded uses for them, such as Tamiflu for infants, which it had never been approved for, so that they could make sure there were stockpiles of medicine and that people had tests available to get with it.
All seemed to make sense, obviously, at the time. We were dealing with a lot of unknowns.
Bernadine Healy, former director of NIH, has written recently that she's very concerned that we are, I believe her word was, guesstimating instead of actually calculating. And the result from that, according to her and doctors I've called in the past day or so, are just that we could be overloading emergency rooms with people who don't have the flu. We're going to be using up medicine that might not be needed. And there's just a host of other resources that are taken up. And some of the doctors and researchers like Bernadine Healy are saying, hey, we really need to stick with numbers the way we always have instead of just, you know, random guesses.
Now, while we waited to get data from CDC, which we eventually did, but in the meantime, we contacted all 50 states directly. I just want to give you a couple of samples of what we found. In California, they took 13,000 specimens, and of those, 296 were swine flu, 12% were other flu, 86% were negative for flu altogether. And in Florida, they had 8,000 specimens, more than that actually. 17% proved to be, upon further testing, H1N1. 83% were negative. In Alaska, 1% was swine flu. And in Georgia, 2.4% was swine flu. The rest were negative for swine flu.
The president now declaring the H1N1 outbreak a national emergency. The White House says the president signed this proclamation last night. It will allow medical officials to bypass certain federal requirements.
I'm Dr. Freeman. I'm Fernando Suarez with CBS News. I work with Cheryl Atkinson from our investigative department. This is on a separate issue. For weeks, we've been trying to get information from your office on the state-by-state breakdown of the H1N1 virus. And your office has been obstructing the release of that information. Can you assure us that you would personally look into this so that we can get that public information released today?
We will certainly look into it. We do work in partnership with states and coordinate with them on release of data that is data reported to CDC by state governments. So it's a question of coordinating with the states on release of information. I'd like to see if there are other questions perhaps on the...
Last question. The information is available to the CDC right now. What can we do to get that information released to us today? Your office has stopped communicating with us about this issue, so we had to come down here to ask you personally to get involved.
I am aware of the issue. We are discussing with states because some of the states have provided to us preliminary or incomplete data, and we need to make sure that any data we release to the public is accurate and that the entities that have reported are comfortable that that data actually represents what they intended to report. So once we are comfortable in that, we will be happy to release it to you. I do not know whether that will be today or not. Are there other questions about the prevention, putting prevention, communities putting prevention to work?
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion. Because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to...
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious business. During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman, when in November of 1976, she took her shot. 2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I had joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways. As you can see in these home movies taken by a friend, Judy Roberts' paralysis confined her mostly to a wheelchair for over a year. But this disease can even kill. Indeed, there are 300 claims now pending from the families of GBS victims who died, allegedly as a result of the swine flu shot.
I am a little more adamant in my thoughts than my wife is, because I asked, told Judy to take the shot. She wasn't going to take it, and she never had had shots. And I'm mad with my government because they knew the facts. But they didn't release those facts because if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic, and they can drop off like flies next to me. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
We contacted all 50 states directly. I just want to give you a couple of samples of what we found. In California, they took 13,000 specimens, and of those, 296 were swine flu, 12% were other flu, 86% were negative for flu altogether. And in Florida, they had 8,000 specimens, more than that actually. 17% proved to be, upon further testing, H1N1. 83% were negative. In Alaska, 1% was swine flu. And in Georgia, 2.4% was swine flu. The rest were negative for swine flu.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
So you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Have you spoken to your doctor since?
Yes.
And?
He's delighted that I didn't take that shot.